In Portland, Oregon, the city government may pull out of an alliance with the FBI aimed at fighting terrorism. It's called the Joint Terrorism Task Force. The mayor and city council say they're worried that the task force could lead to illicit surveillance of local citizens. The FBI says the program is important in an area that has already seen terrorist conspiracies. NPR's Larry Abramson traveled to Portland and has this report.
On a clear day, the FBI office in Portland has a fine view of Mount Hood. Even when it's cloudy, as it often is, Special Agent in Charge Robert J. Jordan can admire the erector set of bridges that cross the Willamette River. What Jordan cannot see is how he will ever fight the war on terror without the help of the Portland police.
I cannot be as effective and efficient at running an anti-terrorism operation without them. Your typical FBI agent is assigned here out of Quantico. They're not native Oregonians. They want to find their way around Portland. They're sitting there in their car with a map.
Jordan sits uncomfortably with a Glock 40 caliber pistol strapped to his waist. After a lifetime of marathons and Ironman races, he now has his right leg stuck in a brace after knee surgery.
I tore my ACL is what happened in a Taekwondo bout.
Jordan is hoping the battle over the JTTF won't be as painful. Local and state police here contribute officers to the JTTF just as they do in 100 jurisdictions around the country. Local cops effectively move in to the FBI offices. They get training. One Oregon state trooper is learning Arabic right now. And Jordan says they get incredible access.
And once they come in the door, they have the keys to the kingdom. They get passwords and access codes that enable them to access our most sensitive files.
Jordan says Portlanders and Oregonians should understand the need for this kind of information sharing. The region has seen plenty of homegrown terrorism, from eco-terrorism to abortion clinic bombings to the 1984 bioterror attack by the Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh cult. And that history continues right up to the arrest of the Portland Seven in 2002. The case led to guilty pleas by six Oregonians who plotted to fight against U.S. forces in Afghanistan.
Terrorism happened right here. This isn't some far-off case that happened in Pakistan, or those local jihadists raised money and support right here in Oregon.
But there's another history, one that has made Portland suspicious, some would say paranoid, of the FBI. Across the river from the FBI office, you'll find Mojo's Cafe, which used to offer Bush Sundays, when 10% of sales were donated to the Democratic candidate for president. From a small storefront across the street, activist Dan Handelman runs Cop Watch, a police watchdog group. Like all self-respecting activists, Handelman has a copy of his police file. He digs deep into a file cabinet and hauls out a remembrance of his protest past.
This is the piece of paper that has my name on it from the Criminal Intelligence Unit saying, Handelman Daniel, my name is spelled wrong, male, white, leader of a Rock Affinity Group, non-criminal info.
So the Portland police have been gathering information on protesters like Handelman simply because they protested the bombing of Iraq during the Clinton administration. This despite the fact that state laws passed years before prohibited this kind of surveillance. So imagine how Handelman felt in the year 2000 when he saw details of plans to renew the city's participation in the Joint Terrorism Task Force. It was like deja vu all over again.
And then when they read the actual ordinance that was being proposed, the language in it proposed that the JTTF's mission was to identify and target for prosecution those individuals or groups who are responsible for acts of criminal terrorism within the traditional criteria of the right-wing and or left-wing movements, as well as the anti-abortion movement and the Animal Liberation Front / Earth Liberation Front.
Handelman and others say if you let the police help the JTTF, the police may spy again. The FBI says agents won't investigate anyone unless a crime is involved, but activists stress that the Bureau has looser guidelines that could be used to justify surveillance. And they note that the mayor, the city council, even the chief of police cannot know exactly what the task force is up to because these investigations are classified. The worst fears of JTTF opponents were borne out last year when a Portland lawyer was fingered as a co-conspirator in the biggest terror bombings in Europe in years, the Madrid attacks of March 11th that killed 191 people.
This has caused a lot of trauma to myself and my family. I'm what, 2 or 3 days out of the detention center, and I'm just now starting to not shake.
Brandon Mayfield was released from prison last May, just 3 weeks after he was seized as a material witness in the bombings. The FBI originally said his fingerprint was a perfect match with one from a plastic bag found near the Madrid attacks. Mayfield is convinced this was not an innocent mistake. He insists he was busted because he's a convert to Islam, an attorney who worked with Muslim clients. The man who defended Mayfield says, if you don't believe it, read the court filings.
I'll just go through the paragraphs of the affidavit with you.
Public defender Stephen Wax hauls out a stack of papers, documentation the FBI used to support their case against Mayfield. The FBI maintains to this day that Mayfield's mistaken fingerprint was a simple technical error. But Wax says the affidavit implicating his client focuses largely on who Mayfield knew, not on what he did.
Paragraph 11, his wife is an Egyptian. Paragraph 12, they recite that he had been in the military. Paragraph 13, the government said that Mr. Mayfield had represented Mr. Battle in a child custody matter, and that Mr. Battle was convicted of terrorism here in Portland, Oregon, the year before.
Jeffrey Battle was one of the Portland Seven. Brandon Mayfield defended him in a custody dispute after Battle's arrest. The Mayfield case has become a rallying cry for those who oppose any cooperation with the FBI. But Portland didn't really need much urging.
To seniors and riders with disabilities, Mall, Southwest 4th Avenue.
Not far from City Hall, Portland's free downtown tram hums away. The downtown here has a European feel to it, with lots of public transportation, and it's hard to throw a stone without hitting a coffee shop.
And then did you see tomorrow, salmon chowder?
Is that a crowd favorite as well? I've never had it.
Portlanders seem proud of their bluer-than-blue reputation, of the bumper stickers that proclaim, "Keep Portland Weird." So maybe it was predictable that the city mocked as Little Beirut by conservatives is considering a symbolic declaration of independence. But in fact, most members of the city council, like Commissioner Dan Saltzman, have long supported the JTTF.
One thing we learned from the 9/11 commission was that there was a real lack of cooperation amongst law enforcement and intelligence.
Saltzman can't understand why his colleagues have shifted their position on the issue. He attributes the change to paranoia about the FBI.
You know, Portland has a certain amount of people that just distrust authority, hate police, and still think the FBI is run by J. Edgar Hoover.
Call it paranoia or healthy skepticism, Councilmember Randy Leonard says he's ready to switch his vote.
I don't believe that the current structure of the Joint Terrorism Task Force is respectful of our state's constitutions or our statutes or our responsibility as a city to make sure that our police force is properly supervised.
The walls of Leonard's office are festooned with ceremonial axes and other memorabilia from his 25 years as a firefighter. This former first responder says it's good to collaborate in investigations against child porn or drugs. But the JTTF is different, he says, because the rules for the FBI are different.
I mean, the FBI has a mission. They have a mission statement, and they have a boss, and his name is George W. Bush, and I respect that chain of command and that mission. I don't think they have the same kind of respect for the city of Portland's mission, for the state of Oregon's mission, and our own chain of command.
There's a simple solution to these concerns about oversight. Just give top secret clearance to the mayor or to the chief of police so they'll know exactly what the task force is doing. But Portland FBI Chief Robert Jordan says handing out top secret clearances to politicians might be a bad idea.
I'm sitting here with a top secret clearance, and I've been subjected to polygraphs. Periodic, random, and sometimes as part of particular cases. I'm not sure that anybody's really thought through this business. Does anybody really want to see the FBI polygraphing elected public officials?
Like others in law enforcement, Jordan appears frustrated that he is still paying the price of surveillance screw-ups of the past. But the threat of FBI spying is a very real threat for many area Muslims, like those who attend the Bilal Mosque in the suburb of Beaverton and worship in about 20 languages.
Filipino, Malay, Chinese, Japanese,
Urdu,
Wolof, English.
About 50 men and women gather on a recent weekday evening at Bilal. This is the mosque where Brandon Mayfield used to worship before his arrest. They built this place themselves and are proud to show guests around.
This is basically for Sunday school, for the kids we teach Islamic studies.
They may be proud, but they're also scared. Even though the FBI admits Brandon Mayfield was wrongly accused, the arrest has come to haunt the Muslim community. Take Samira Godil, who moved here from Pakistan years ago. When she re-entered the U.S. after a trip home in January, an immigration officer in Houston noticed that she lived near Portland and immediately made the connection to Bilal.
"Where's your husband?" I said, "In Portland, Oregon." "Does he go to Bilal Mosque?" Fourth question. The fourth question was, "Does he go to Bilal Mosque?" And I said, "No, my husband does not really, but I do and I have for the last 10 years. And he rambles off the Portland seven names and he says, "Do you know all of them?" And I said, "No, I don't." And he says, "You've been going for 10 years and you don't know them?" And I said, "Since you know so much about Islam, you should know that women and men are separate."
These experiences reinforce suspicion of federal authorities. It's particularly striking, says Mosque President Shahryar Ahmed, because local police and politicians have been so welcoming.
There, the relationship is amazing. It is one in which you can go into their arms and you know they'll protect you. But with the FBI, it seems different.
All of this is making life very difficult for FBI Special Agent in Charge, Robert Jordan. He has visited every mosque that will have him and has appeared on local media to reassure the citizenry that he can do his job without spying on them. But the public is fickle, he says, and hard to please.
And certainly the message that I got upon entering law enforcement 31, 32 years ago was, you don't investigate people until they've committed a crime. Now I think the public expects us to disrupt or prevent a terrorist act before it happens. How do you do that if you're not in there in the pre-planning meetings?
Other cities have raised concerns about JTTF investigations, but no other city appears so close to dropping out. Portland could start a trend, or the city could be content to remain an odd duck. Larry Abramson, NPR News.